Well, that's what this
I'm so sorry about
the eclipse season is drastic ending. So do you remember what happened? Oh, hey, this is Kilowatt. I'm doing a podcast with my mom because I want to remember our conversations.
Yes.
Forever. And then that way I will always have her with me.
Recorded things for you.
Oh, I yeah.
Voice and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Make you feel better, I think. You know?
Yeah.
You live forever, and, you know, everybody has to kind of be ready for it when it's happening.
I know.
You know, and it's good to have something ahead of time put out, you know?
Yeah, like that letter idea for the kids.
Yeah.
We should sit down and do that. I wanted my mom to write letters to the kids for, like, their wedding, for their graduation.
Yeah, sure. Why not? I mean, because I'm going to be here for hours.
I know. I think it'd be great, you know, to have that pre-written because you're a huge part of their lives.
I wish I had done that with mine, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish that they would have, you know. It's hard because you're so sucked into the caregiving deal that you forget, you know, like this morning when I realized that the power was out downstairs and you had just been sitting there in the dark and I was like, what's going on? And I was like, wait a minute, because there's like brief things like that you don't factor in. You're like, what would happen if the power went out? Like where's the circuit breaker box? How do I get to it? Which one do I flip? Like, it's such a complicated series of events.
It's in the garage on the other side.
Like, if you're like forgetting where stuff is, like, it would be hard to, you know, and those types of things present themselves all the time.
Yeah.
Like, if you forget to eat, your body has a tendency to, because the hippocampus is what controls the urge for hunger. So that feeling of hunger, it's a signal that your body sends to you when it requires more fuel, you know? Mm-hmm. And the very first part of the Alzheimer's stage is the hippocampus that starts to deteriorate a little bit more, you know?
Yeah.
And one of the main things that happens and one of the main reasons why it gets expedited is because the person doesn't feel hungry. Right. So, the brain will actually, because your body is such an amazing instrument, will come up with a secondary notification system, and that is anxiety, which is terrible because cortisol is the worst fucking nightmare enemy to the disease. So it sort of like accentuates the problem. But so what it does is your body will make you feel anxious and panicked. And that's usually about the time that you start looking for the kitties and you'll ask me about where Pumpkin is. And that's when I know mom's hungry. Let's get the snacks out. And like I had set up lunch for you before I went to drop Bubba off, and I put some tomato soup in a bowl and I got the pizza out and I microwaved the soup and I'm said, okay, go ahead and munch on this, and when I get back, we'll make dinner, you know?
Yeah.
And then I came home, and you were all panicked and worried about Pumpkin, but you were, like, really panicked and worried about Pumpkin, and I was like, wait a minute, did you fucking eat the soup? I go back, I open up the microwave, it's still in the microwave, the pizza's still on the counter, I'm like, oh my God. She doesn't have fucking breakfast or lunch, and it's almost 7, and I was like, oh my God. So like immediately I was like, we're eating this, we're gonna microwave this and remake it. But like the schedule thing, that's one of the, it is terrifying, you know, because I have this prospect of going back to work, and I'm like oh my God, like, I'm grateful that Jacob's here. And that we can tag team this as a family, you know, because really our family is like an all hands on deck type of family.
Yeah.
Like when the water came leaking through the ceiling during the pipe bursting, We were all hands on deck. Jacob is running and grabbing a fucking bucket. You were getting the towels. I was fucking shishing the water out with a broom. And it was like, just like, get it. Call 911. What do we do? Oh my God. Where's the tools? And like, it was just insane. And like, but that's the type of situation that we're in right now. Yeah. We're like, holy shit. Nana's got Alzheimer's. Okay, we need a schedule. Everybody get prepared. Where's the planners? You know, like, it's so funny because I'm like, dude, like, never in a million fucking years would I ever imagine myself being the rock or the glue that holds it all together. If I'm the fucking glue that is holding everything together, we're fucked. And I'm like, I'm not trying to be like morbid or anything, but I was like, oh my God. And like, it's so funny. It's like the first time, like after you move out and something happens, like, I think for me, it was like my very first car accident after my divorce.
Yeah.
And it was like a mile, like it was a bumper, a fender bender, you know, but I had been so dependent upon, Brad to give me like the insurance card. And but like when I had left, I took what I could out of fucking garbage bags.
Yeah.
And I bounced because I fucking had to get out of there.
Yeah.
And so none of my shit was organized. I had never been in a car accident before.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God. Like, so I called Brad and he's like, well, are you okay? And I was like, yeah. He's like, well, sounds like a you problem. And then he hung up the phone and I was like, yeah. I was like, thanks, asshole. Like, whatever. Yeah. So I had to like call the insurance company that I thought we had.
That was good.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, you wanted to be single. Enjoy being an adult. And I was like, oh my God. Okay. And that's fair, you know, but like, it's sort of like when I came into this situation with you, nobody explains how complicated it is when you're merging households, right? So like I'm coming into your space, right? You've been on your own for 20 years and you have had your own independent, peaceful sanctuary. Just being in your own zone and like having everything the way that you want it. You had your art room dialed in. There were floor to ceiling art supplies and it was all perfectly organized. And I was so impressed, you know, like you really put a lot of fucking time into that. And that's why when we get into this new house, I'm going to make sure I get your little art studio set up.
Yeah.
And so, when I was in the process of merging into your home and to your space, there were plenty of fights. And then factor in Jacob was getting his mental health stabilized and getting sober. I was getting sober. And I also had never been put in charge of anybody else's finances before, yet alone my own. I mean, I had a little bit of an idea, but I had no fucking clue how on top of it I would have to be. Because in that very instant moment of like not knowing who's gonna take on what role, there's a lack of communication, right? And a lack of connection. And I didn't know when the fuck to step in. And then I think it was like sometime last month that I was like talking with you and I realized like, okay, I need to stop and just take control of the situation. And that was really hard for me because you raised me to be so respectful and like, not submissive, but like definitely wait to see what your judgment was, you know? And it's really like, I've literally been raised to pause and see what mom wants to do. And so I feel like this whole thing, I found myself paused, like the work thing, because I'm waiting for you to tell me what to do, but you can't because it's moment by moment, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like really difficult for me to like figure out like, okay, I guess this is just the time to take the bull by the horns, you know, like nobody else is fucking coming. Like, let's do this, you know? And so that's why I called the realtor and I was like, fuck it. We're just going to put this shit on the market as is and try and get this shit done.
Well,
because the sooner we sell it.
Yeah. I mean, I hope we don't end up with, you know, having, you know, well, we're only gonna put, you know, $100,000
No, they're not gonna do that.
Yeah.
No. The real estate in Portland is too high.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get like literally small little pieces of shit shacks are going for like 300,000. Ours is streamlined to be like 425 as is,
yeah.
Without, and so the realtor tomorrow will tell us more.
Yeah.
But this has been,
what time is that
gonna happen? I have to check my messages, but I believe sometime in the morning. It might be like 11.
Are they coming here?
Yeah, he lives up on 84th, oh, so he's okay. Familiar with the neighborhood, and I told him that we were looking for, not out in Malala, because I know how you feel about that, but somewhere like central toward Brent's house. Like, it would be close enough to 205 for you to still go to lunch and stuff with Nicole.
Yeah.
It would still be easier for you'd be able to get around relatively simply, like through. I want to be in like a smaller town, but that has restaurants,
yeah.
Grocery store within walking distance, anything like that.
Yeah.
Everything that we need in one location. That way when the fall of society happens, we'll have, like, all the shit on hand. I'm just kidding. But, like, for real. I'm wondering what the solar eclipse is going to be like. I have never in my fucking wildest days ever heard of the National Guard being deployed for a solar eclipse. And then instructing the citizens of this country to have 2 weeks worth of supplies. 2 weeks worth of water and food and medication. What the fuck are they planning? They're calling school out for every fucking kid in the nation.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big, like, in my head, I'm like, dude, I have never heard. Like, it's a solar eclipse, dude. It's not like a fucking power grid failure, but that's like what they're having us plan for. And part of me wonders if the last couple of weeks they've been doing trial runs to see if they can shut systems down. Because, like, ultimately, if you're a conspiracy theorist, right, you're going to go by the notion that the government is literally not going to tell you the truth fucking ever. Okay? And you're going to have to be grasping at straws to put the puzzle together to understand what the full story is, because they're never going to give it to you straight. And that's where I come into play, because that's exactly how I fucking feel. I'm like, I don't trust it. If they want me to do something, I'm going to ask why. And so when they said, it was just a software glitch. That's why all the cell phones went down. I'm like, fuck no. Every cell phone was down for 4 hours a couple weeks ago. And then the following fucking week, it was the trains. The trains were, there was some type of glitch in the trains where they couldn't turn the fucking trains off for 24 hours. They were just running. I was like, dude, you gotta be fucking kidding me. And then the same story goes with like power outages and stuff. So I'm wondering if they were gearing up, because let's say you wanted to do a total power outage, but only temporarily, right? Because you don't want to, like, totally
scare people.
Well, you also don't want to totally fuck up the system, right? So if you wanted to do a temporary power grid failure that would allow them to be malleable, right? Like, then you would be able to guide and direct the general public as you see fit for whatever agenda you've got on hand that's probably fucking funded by the Illuminati, but whatever. So let's say that was the case. You would do a temporary shutdown, but you'd want to make sure you could turn it back on. So I think they'd been doing trial runs and then coming up with bullshit stories as to why the trains wouldn't stop running, or why the cell phones were down, or why this section of town had zero power for 24 hours. Like, I think they were trying to see if it was feasible to pull something like this off without completely plummeting our nation. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm sure they don't want to, you know, have full range, you know, people running wild in the streets. Nobody wants that. And so, you know, they're trying their best at trying to find the right combinations of how to do it in such a way that it's a little bit calmer.
Do you know what's going on in Haiti right now?
It's
insane, okay? So they just did an emergency evacuation of all U.S. diplomats out of Haiti.
Yeah.
Like, all personnel fucking evacuate.
Yeah.
Why? Because there are cannibalistic gangs roaming the fucking streets eating people. Like, killing people to eat them.
Where is this?
In Haiti.
I can believe that.
Because the starvation and shit's gone full tilt. Like, it's getting bad, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what they're doing in Haiti. And, like, then you think about the fact that they just called for a fucking immediate ceasefire in Gaza with... It's contingent upon them releasing the hostages, right? But there was nothing said about the 7,000 Palestinian people, including children, including every fucking doctor at the Al-Shifa hospital. They don't include those numbers in the ceasefire agreement. Like, hey, we'll give you your people if you give us ours, and we'll all stop fucking shooting each other. Mm-hmm. Which, the Palestinians have fucking slingshots, so I don't know what they're shooting, but, like, maybe they'll stop throwing pebbles at the fucking grenade launchers, but I don't know. The world is getting pretty weird. And I've been entrusted with this weird task of organizing a 20-year high school reunion. And I was laughing because we created a group chat. And I've had numerous declines from people who reference that they don't think that the fucking world will still be functioning by August. There have been actual, like, RSVPs, polite pass. I don't think the world's going to be working in August.
Oh, God.
I think you guys are a little ambitious to plan it in August. We should probably have started, next month, you know.
Oh,
and I'm just like, what? But in my head, I'm like, dude, that makes sense. Like, why are they deploying the National Guard? Like, if shit's getting real and we've gone nuclear, I need to go get a lead vest. I don't give a fuck about a reunion. Like, I'm not trying to die, okay? And I'm also trying to make sure my kids fucking live.
Yeah.
This morning was fucking chaos, though, because Bubba woke up. So, Bubba and Vanessa got back together.
Of course.
But, she was transitioning into sober living. Mm-hmm. Pardon me, sorry.
Sorry.
I don't know why my fucking acid reflux is so bad tonight. But she's transitioning into sober living, and in the process, she was looking for a place to stay. And so I said, okay, like, you can stay here maximum 1 week, okay? Mm-hmm. And I got to know that you're going to go into this fucking housing thing. Like, this isn't, like, you're not moving in for good. I'm not going to let you fucking sleep outside. Obviously, you're my son's girlfriend. That's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. And, this entire time, Bubba has had some reservations about what happened when they broke up, that she had moved on so quickly and gotten, like, a boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you know what, like, I don't trust that she's not going to do that again. I don't trust that until she's completely on her own, like, on her own two feet, and we're not keeping her off the streets, like, I don't trust that she's going to be fully invested in just this relationship. I think she's going to have somebody else always.
She's always, you know, right now, that's understandable. I mean, she's very young.
Mm-hmm.
She's been coddled by her family to a certain extent. She mm-hmm. hasn't really worked very much. So she doesn't know.
I know. That's what I said to Bubba. I said, listen, like, you can be mad, okay, because here's what happened. All right. We'll put a pin on what you just said and circle back. Mm-hmm. You can be upset, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because this morning he had been hearing her notifications go off, like, all day yesterday. Mm-hmm. And then every single night the notifications are silenced. And, like, she puts her phone in sleep mode. Mm-hmm. So, like, no sounds are going off at 3 a.m. from Snapchat or anything like that, which is fine. But she,
what you want.
Yeah, but she had never done that before.
Right.
Right. So it seemed kind of suspicious.
Yeah.
Especially if you already have some trust issues.
Yeah.
At the base. And so he was like, okay, well, I'm going to look through her phone. So he looks through her phone and she'd been talking to somebody else, calling him baby, talking about their day, shit like that. And he was just like, dude, like, I fucking knew it.
Yeah.
I knew that this was going to happen. I knew it was a bad idea to have her even come stay. I was fine with us just kicking it and being friends, maybe more, but give it time. Mm-hmm. But she wanted to go full tilt, run back into it. And I fell for it because I fucking love her.
Yeah.
And then he was super upset to discover that she had not been super honest. And I said, listen, bud, you can be mad, but consider that she's young. She's got no place to go. If this falls through, what is she going to do?
Yeah.
And he's like, but the dude lives in fucking Arizona. And I was like, oh, well, maybe she'd go to Arizona. Who the fuck knows, you know?
Yeah.
And he was like, no, I think she's doing it just to hurt me. And I was like, no. That was his moment where he was like falling into the abyss. And I was like, no. And so that was our morning. And I explained to Vanessa, I said, listen, like, because what happened was she came upstairs to say good morning and ask about what we were doing for the day. And Bubba had just came and told me what happened. And I was just sitting there like, fuck, okay. Like, he's like, she's got to go. Like, I don't want to live with her right now. I don't want to be near her. I don't want to talk to her. I don't want to see her. Like, we're done. And I was like, okay, I get it. Like, I can respect that. I would not expect anybody to have to be in living quarters with the person who just cheated on them. You know, like,
yeah.
It's not going to work out. Like, I'm sorry, but that's just not realistic. And yeah. So I said, okay, well, we'll figure something out. And then she came upstairs and she was asking what we were going to do. And we were really quiet. And I could feel that he was about to say something. And he was like, you know what? If I had a nickname, it would be JR. And that's the name of the dude that she'd been texting. And I could see the blood drain from her fucking face. And I could see, I could literally feel her fucking stomach drop and the hole in her heart form. Like, it was so simultaneous. Like, all at once, I could feel shit hitting the fan. And I was like, all right, bud, here's the deal. We're not going to do this here. Nana's downstairs. We're not going to have any drama right now. Because she started in going, well, you, this and that. And I said, nope, nope, no, 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 no. Here's what we're not going to do, you guys. We're not going to do drama. We're going to come to the acceptance that this is what it is, and we got to find an alternative solution for the living situation, and I will help her get to where she needs to go, and we'll call it square, okay? Because this is not drama that needs to unfold.
Yeah.
If you know everything that you need to know, you don't have to entertain it anymore. I know that your heart wants to. I know that it's quite shocking that this relationship you thought was going to be forever is over. But at some point, the acceptance has to hit. You cannot blame shift. You need to be accountable for the fact that this is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And accept the consequence that if you're going to sneak around behind his back, you're not, and the chances are high you're going to get caught because Jake's very, very suspicious. And I don't blame him. I don't blame him.
All guys do.
No, that Vanessa was.
Oh, yeah.
And so he had looked through her phone and I was like, you know, you're going to get caught. The consequence is that you're probably not going to continue living here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a big consequence. So this is literally the definition of fuck around and find out. And I was like, I gave her a pep talk because I don't want to see her fall back to drugs. She's been really good being sober. She's getting into this 40 program. I want her to do well. I don't want to see her fucking die.
She needs to have experience. She needs to have a experience that, you know, is something that she wanted to do. And she did part of it. And yes, she's going to bumble around.
Yeah.
She's going to fuck up.
Everybody fucks up.
Everybody does.
Yeah.
So you just have to give them a very honest, okay, you're just starting out here. So you're going to make mistakes.
That's what I told her. I told her, I said, listen, you can do shitty things and not be a shitty person.
Yeah, absolutely.
I said, you're not a shitty person, okay? Your heart was probably not intending to cause this pain.
Yeah.
I know that you legitimately do love Jacob, but unfortunately this is where the story ends for now.
Yeah.
And I explained to her, I said, you know, you need to figure out what you want to do with your life and what kind of future you want to have.
Yeah.
What kind of life do you want to have? Not what kind of life does your boyfriend plan to have? What kind of life do your parents want you to have? You need to ask yourself, what is it that I fucking want?
Well, and a lot of it too, at this age in your life, you really don't know what you want.
Yeah, of course not. It's, well, it's the nodal return. Yeah, that's, I got pregnant with Jacob during my nodal return. Yeah, you moved up to Alaska during yours.
Yeah, I know.
It's very indicative of a time frame in your life that will last you the trajectory. I think it's like a total of 18 years.
Yeah.
So you're walking into a huge part of your life that you're not sure what it's going to look like. That's 18 years,
yeah.
You know? So for me, I'm having my nodal return. And I'm noticing like the endings are very prominent, especially this weekend, like with my friend Jared and the, terminal cancer prognosis or diagnosis, whatever. They told him, you know, you've got a couple fucking weeks, if a couple months max, you know, like it's not going to get any better. And we're just going to try to make you as comfortable as we can. Because there's really no method if it's everywhere. We can't, there's no treatment that's going to work. And it's not feasible to put you under surgery 16 times in a week. Like it doesn't work. So there's that woman who Saturn returned 27. Her name's Angelina Miner. She got into a fucking car accident with her 4-year-old son in the back. She had been drinking. They ruled it as a drunk driving manslaughter. She's going to prison. She killed her kid.
I think that would be the worst thing that ever would happen to a woman.
It is. It is absolutely. It is absolutely. Oh,
you have
yeah.
Your own child.
Mm-hmm. No.
No.
I don't know how the fuck I would.
I would blow.
I can't either. And you know,
I'd be so
because I had a drinking problem, I could see that easily happening to me.
That's why
you know, easily I could see that shit. Like, there were countless times where I would have Brent drive if I knew that I had been drinking at all.
Yeah. I'm so glad that you've got hip about that.
No, that he would be driving his car with Braylon.
Yeah.
I would be taking mine.
Yeah. By yourself.
Drunk. Yeah. But not drunk, but like I had alcohol in my system, which is not good if you have a CDL.
You
as we already learned.
Else out,
yeah, we already learned that like
the reality is that you can take somebody else out too.
Of course.
And it would be
worse. Well, and even if you're not drunk, if there's alcohol in your system,
it doesn't fucking matter.
They'll charge you with manslaughter because they're feeding the fucking system.
Even though you had one fucking beer.
It doesn't matter. If you have any alcohol content in your body.
Yeah.
And that person dies, you're going to jail for 10 years.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
Oregon law, there's no getting around it.
Yeah.
Nobody gets out of that.
Yeah.
And it is...
Well, that's why I'm not drinking that much anymore.
Traumatic.
Either.
Well, and your doctor said it's not a good idea.
Oh,
it's
no.
just not good
Especially
for your brain.
With this.
Yeah, it's not good if...
But,
yeah.
No. So I'm just forget it.
I know.
And it's okay because, you know, I'm
grateful for it because you were doing shit like when I would have alcohol at the house, you would make yourself a mixed drink, you'd come up, you'd hand me a glass of juice, and I would go to take a drink and I'd smell fucking alcohol and you had forgotten that I'm sober. And I'd constantly be like, Mom, what did you just give me? And you're like, oh, it's a vodka martini. And I'm like, oh my God, Mom, stop. Like, you were so cute. I love you so much.
Yeah,
you were pulling out the 50s housewife moves. You're like, I got a martini. We're going to watch some fun videos and hang out with the cats. And I was like, that would work if I was not sober. I said, so you have the martini and I'll fucking drink a ginger ale or like a fucking rock star or something.
Well,
but the endings are prominent. So Vanessa and Jake have ended.
Yeah.
That woman is going to jail. My friend Jared is preparing for his funeral arrangements. I don't know how the fuck he's dealing with that. I'm so scared for him. And
and he's young. So this is even harder.
Yeah.
You know, because he hasn't had a chance to really...
And all the while...
Discover who he is.
All the while, in the back of my mind, I'm going... Do we have enough food for 2 weeks? Is there going to be an EMP? Are we even going to be able to drive our vehicle to Jen's? Yeah. Do I have a paper map to get to Jen's and a mapped outline of off the beaten path route to Jen's? Because I don't want to travel the main roads, because if the National Guard is deployed and they're taking people to fucking FEMA camps.
Yes.
For their safety. Yeah. Then I don't want to get fucking nabbed by the National Guard. So we're going to be traveling in the brush, and I'm going to have to find the topography maps and make sure I know what elevation is. And yeah. I'm over here like planning for fucking World War III. Meanwhile, Jared's planning his funeral. Everything's fucking weird. And I'm thinking, yeah. Where's the venue for our 20-year high school reunion going to be?
Know.
Is it going to be in a bunker?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I mean, we can't really predict how this is going to go. We have to just go as it flows.
Well, the realtor meeting us this weekend is very significant because it's the ending of this chapter in the house. Mm-hmm. And
I've been here a long time.
I know.
You know, I'm sure that's going to be a big change for me.
I'm going to make sure it stays as homey and comfortable as you, like, you have a fucking theme here, okay? I know exactly what you like, which is why when I redid your room, I was able to turn it into this little masterpiece, because I know what you like. Yeah. You like fancy old shit tied with modern and art deco.
And everybody else.
And don't forget the fucking twinkle lights, because she needs them, all right?
She likes to have coffee.
She needs her own special Keurig coffee maker.
That's right.
And don't forget the fucking flowers, okay? We need nice drapes. We gotta have beautiful curtains and fake flowers.
Well, you know, I'm lucky to have everything that I have, and I'm glad and grateful for all that I have, and that I can share it with the people that I love the most.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, I do, you know, I can do. I don't care that. You know, that everything isn't perfect.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I felt bad about losing my mother's dishes.
Oh, we didn't lose them.
We didn't lose them?
No, I kept everything you wanted. I'm a fucking wizard. I am a fucking wizard. Yeah.
How did you do that?
We have it downstairs.
I don't know that.
Yeah. We have the silverware. We have the fucking china. Like
No. I mean, her really fancy.
Yeah.
The brown and the gold.
I don't think there's any brown and gold bowls or anything.
Yeah. No.
So this is from the storage unit.
Yeah.
So, oh, see, I thought you were talking about me clearing out all the space to merge houses.
Yeah.
Because I was a fucking specialist at stockpiling and compacting and reorganizing and shifting like a little pack rat to keep everything that you wanted to keep so that we could like maintain dignity and respect. Like I was not going to just come in and throw all your shit out because fuck that. That is so mean. I can't believe that people fucking do that. People literally just come in and fucking take their parents and put them in fucking home. It is so fucked up. I'm like, dude, what is wrong with, where is your soul right now? Like, what did you do? Like, and they just,
I think for, you know,
these miserable fucking people.
I have a lot of, you know, I realized with my mom and I realized what was going on with her and that she was going to have somebody with her every single day,
mm-hmm.
okay, because she was walking around, you know,
in
Tacoma, and they knew, mm-hmm. you know, it was bad. And so I said, I'm bringing her here. She's going to be with me.
Yeah.
Because I cannot.
Put her in a home and forget about her. Yeah.
I can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
I still have things I have to do, but I am not going to do that. So I pretty much said, hey, you know.
No, I remember you had, it was when I was going to school and working at the office. So I was fucking hella busy. I was so fucking busy. I was going 13 hours, 14 hours a day,
oh, yeah.
driving, you know,
all over the place.
Driving 2 hours, so a total of 16, and then sleeping like 3, and like homework, and the whole thing was a fucking disaster. And so I did that for fucking 3 years.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know how the fuck I did that for. I, of course, had to be in my early 20s. But
all I can say is that you're a very good mother. And in a lot of ways, you have priorities that you don't have to really worry about it because you've got them there. They're there.
Yeah, it's the values.
The values are there, and you know what you want, and you know what the kids need, and you know what you need.
Yeah, like my ultimate desire is to keep everything as intact.
Right.
And familiar for you, because I recognize that the amount of change that we're about to undergo is just so heavy. I mean, it's already been a mind bender as it is, like, yeah. Not to mention like sprinkling a couple homeless kids in the mix, because God knows I can't fucking say no to a kid that needs a place to stay. Yeah, you know, I'm going to end up that fucking woman.
I really can't, because that's part of who you are.
It's well, like, that's who you raised me to be. Yeah, because when it's a child, we're like, well, of course, you know, get in here. Like, you're not going to fucking sleep outside. Come here. And I said that to Landon, and I was so proud of him today. So Landon, he was getting evicted from a sober living house. Get this. They're fucking evicting him. This is the reason that they gave, okay? They had set him up with a whole bunch of fucking tasks to go get an advisor, to go to this many meetings, to do volunteer work, to get a job, to blah, blah, blah. Fucking weekly chores, weekly meetings. Like, well, I mean, he went from being in a fucking trailer taking care of his incompetent parents, okay, and his fucking siblings,
right,
to being cast out into the fucking street with nothing and a one-way ticket to Portland. So his entire fucking world blew up. This is Landon's nodal return. And like, I'm sitting here going like, okay, like, somebody give this kid a fucking break. Like, because I'm over here going, what the fuck is Landon gonna do? And of course I'm like, okay, let's fucking find him a place to go. I put him in the sober living house off, like, over by Estacada near Jen's, kind of. Because that way, if there's some shit going down, I got another fucking mama bird that's willing to help out, because she knows it takes a fucking tribe.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, so he'll be safe here.
Yeah.
It was the first time in this kid's fucking life that he had his own room.
Yeah.
At 18 years old in a sober living house.
That's so crazy.
The first time he's had his own fucking room at 18 years old. That'll tell you what kind of shit this kid's been through.
Yeah.
I don't fucking blame him for wanting to do drugs. With a life like that, I'd fucking need to do drugs too, okay? Like, not to mention his fucking parents introduced that shit to him. So,
and why would a parent?
Why would a parent want to smoke meth with their fucking kid? I don't know.
There's no way.
Because there's an addiction problem, that's why. And so, anyway, we're not talking shit. We're going to move on past that, because that's low vibes.
Yeah.
We're going for high vibes, all right? High vibes, 224... setting the bar. And so Lannon was talking to me the other day, and he said, while I was leaf blowing before the house meeting, they proceeded to tell me what a great job I was doing on the yard. And then they had me step outside for a moment during the meeting. And when I came back in, they were all standing there looking at me, holding an eviction notice. He says, why am I being evicted? You gave me a list of everything to do. I've done everything that you've asked me for. I'm still sober, which is a fucking miracle for me, because I love weed and I am not even smoking weed right now.
Yeah.
I don't even have mental health drugs that I need because I don't have a fucking doctor yet.
Yeah.
And he's like, what is it that I didn't do?
Right.
And they wouldn't fucking tell him for a minute.
No.
And then they ended up going, well, you did leave the chicken in the oven.
Oh, give me a break.
You left it overnight. And also, you don't flush the toilet after you use it.
Okay.
Which, by the way, Lannon said, just for good measure, he refused to use the upstairs bathroom.
Uh-huh.
And for a week, he was still getting blamed for not flushing the fucking toilet.
Yeah. You're assholes.
Well, they just don't fucking like him.
No.
And I don't, you know, I'm going to say this right now. I don't blame people for being standoffish with Landon at first. Yes. But when you hear how far this fucking kid has come, like what his actual fucking story is, and you see the resilience in this young man, mm-hmm. you almost admire how strong and smart he is. Yeah. Because he's had nothing. Nobody taught him how to do anything. He's literally had to go grocery shopping for his own fucking family for 10 years. He's 18 years old.
Yeah.
Okay? Like, he's not working with the full fucking deck of cards when you're referencing family there. Okay?
Yeah.
When he called me and he said that he got the eviction notice, I said, "Where's your mom?" He goes, "Oh, she's asleep. She won't answer the phone. She's asleep." I said, "Story of your fucking life, dude. I'm so sorry." I said, "I love you. We're going to fucking figure this shit out. We're going to figure this shit." Well, you can. It's your mom. You can't. Like, you can say it, but, like, just as many times as Jake's cut Brad out, there's that, like, that tiny glimpse of hope, that glimmer that something could, you know, because it's the bond. And it's hard. And it doesn't mean that Sarah is an evil person. She's just a very selfish person.
Yes, she is.
Because if you can't see, like, there's like a quote, and I know because I was selfish. I understand now that I'm sober how selfish I was, because I read a quote the other day and it said, "Never let your storm get your children wet." You may be going through hardships and bullshit, okay? Your life may be fucking hell, but do not let your children see it. Don't let them know what you're going through. I mean, you can express to them that you're having a hard time. You can be honest and direct and communicate, but don't traumatize them.
Yeah. In other words, don't go off on a bender for like a month.
Yeah.
And not even go to the store to buy them food.
And that was me. Yeah. That was me. I mean, I don't know if it was so much that I wouldn't buy food, but I certainly did order fucking pizza all the time.
Yeah.
And there was a disconnect there for me where I was so consumed by my own pain that I wasn't focused on my role as these children's mother. And so I wish more than anything that I can go back in time and slap myself in the fucking face and just say, "Bitch, wake up.
Yeah.
Wake up. Get up. Stand up and go do something.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of the house. Like, go for a fucking walk. You know, like, do something." And so when Landon told me that, I was like, "Story of your fucking life. It's gonna be okay." And I said, "I'm so sorry. I mean, that sucks. It sucks because you're scared and you call your mom for comfort and she's fucking sleeping and you know she's not going to answer for like 10 more hours."
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
And you know that even if she does answer, she's not going to have a solution for you.
No.
What's she going to do in fucking Roseburg?
Well, you know,
she can't even get to the fucking store down the street. How's she going to help you in Portland with no money?
Yeah.
She's got no resources. She doesn't have any networking. And I'm like, "All right, we're going to figure something out. We'll figure it out." And you know what? Landon figured it out on his own. Because I talked to him. Jacob was talking to me. And he was like, "Blah, blah, blah. There was weed there. They were giving people free weed. Like, they were out on the bus or something." And, like, some dude was like, "No, I've seen it. I've seen it. It, like, they give them the pre-rolls."
Yeah.
And, like, there are actually some pretty cool dudes out there. Like, "You want a joint?" Like, they're actually really legit cool people. But they don't recognize that there is an active addiction in the youth right now. And so and they know that kids don't have IDs.
Right.
They were teenagers in their, you know, early 20s before not being able to buy shit, you know. So this guy offered the kids a joint.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't take it. But Landon took it, but he gave it away to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Because he recognized that that had value.
Mm-hmm.
And then he didn't smoke it. And Landon fucking loves weed, but he didn't smoke it because he knew that his sobriety was the only fucking playing card he had to get into another place. And he got into another fucking place. He did it.
Yeah.
And he listened to my advice. I said, "Listen, dude, your sobriety is fucking everything right now. Do not compromise that. As soon as you compromise your sobriety, you're going to be fucking homeless. And then it's going to be even harder to get out."
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, "Okay." And he got his, I found out today that I was like, "Okay, here's what we're going to do." I said, "Worst case scenario, Vanessa's gone now.
Yeah.
you can stay here until we get something, but we have to get something moving because it's too stressful and blah, blah, blah. And then he cut me off. He goes, I already found a place.
Good.
And I was like, wow, I am so fucking proud of you, dude. He's really doing great. And so he may be annoying to watch a fucking movie with. He has no social graces. And his favorite fucking opening line is, well, if I'm being honest, followed by something fucking offensive and rude. And everybody's like, oh my fucking God, this kid is so annoying. Like, and I, if they had just said to Landon, the people that were handing him the eviction notice, okay, yo, we're a bunch of old people, okay? You're young and obnoxious, and it's just not working.
Yeah.
I would have had more respect for them if they had said it like that. Well, but to turn the tables and try and pin it on a kid, yeah, and, like, do some sabotage shit, like not flushing your poops,
yeah,
okay? That's just some dumb, spineless shit right there. Like, find how you fucking feel, right, and stand on it, because we don't have time for that.
Yeah.
We don't have time for that. Landon is growing leaps and bounds. Yeah. He's going to be fine. I'm going to help him. He can help himself, apparently.
Obviously.
But your charity has been wonderful. We are appreciative of the fact that you stepped in and helped this kid for as long as you did. And it would have been, that would have been it. The end of the conversation could have been, thank you for helping him. We'll figure it out from here. We understand.
Mm-hmm.
And Landon would have been fine.
Yeah.
But they tried to make it his fault so that he would feel it like he did something wrong. Because that's what fucking society's done to people nowadays. They feel like they have to fucking lie in order to have it be well received, in order for it to make sense to someone, as opposed to just being fucking honest.
Yeah.
And that's the thing I'm trying right now, is just to be as clear as I can. Yeah.
And that's why when you find people and you're very direct with them and you're honest with them, I think now this is really depending upon how much negative shit they've gone through.
Yeah.
Because, you know, inevitably you can have people who have gone through so much shit, they don't trust anybody. They're not going to trust anybody for quite some time. So, you know, you're going to have to just ride with that and kind of figure out, okay, I don't want him living in my house because I'm afraid he's going to, you know, start using drugs again.
And steal, like, yeah.
And steal from you. So I'm not going to let him have that limit.
Yeah, so you come up with boundaries. Yeah.
And so that's, you know, that's somebody that is a little older and has been looking at stuff and mm-hmm. says, you know, we're not going to go there. But, you know.
Well, they won't even let it get that far. But the point of that is that if you've been so, I don't want to say nihilistic. Is it nihilistic where you're like really negative and shit?
Yeah.
Okay. Where you're so nihilistic that you will rob somebody the opportunity to prove you wrong.
Uh-huh.
And I will say right now, I'm so eternally grateful that Landon proved me wrong, because I was convinced that this kid was going to not come up with a solution and that he was going to call me and he was going to be outside going, where do I put my stuff? You know, like, I was convinced. But when he cut me off today and he said, oh, I already found a place.
Good.
I was so fucking prideful and just happy, because he did, in fact, he is going to be able to turn and look at these motherfuckers who cannot stand on their own fucking feelings
mm-hmm.
and openly communicate to another adult, yo, this is how I fucking feel. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's okay to say that. You're allowed to have your fucking feelings. And I think that your generation has been taught that you're not allowed to have feelings,
yeah.
that you're not allowed to honor your feelings. And that's where all this resentment and passive aggressive stuff comes into play. And it's toxic.
Yeah.
And you have overcome that.
Oh, yeah.
Now we're approaching 48 minutes. So just one moment.
I'll always live.
We had to take a brief moment pause, because when you do certain, when you're doing a podcast, like, segments can only be so long. And so before we got cut off, I decided to pause and start a new segment, because, you know, it's weird. Nana is petting and loving her favorite little kitty. I want to take a picture of it so bad right now. He will climb into her fucking arms and literally, like, curl up into the crook of her neck. I've never seen a cat act so fragile in her hands. Like, he just loves the shit out of her. And he will curl up to her and, like, just lay his head right in the crook of her neck and just let her love him. And it's odd to me that earlier today, we couldn't remember our kitties' names, but we understand that we love them, right? And it's odd to me that for the first time, and this is like, I wasn't going to say it because it actually made me cry. And I'm, mind you, I'm going to buffer this with something positive, so don't feel like doom and gloom, okay? The first time you forgot Braylon's name was tonight, and I am, because I love you so much, it's the most terrifying thing to me to consider that I'm not always going to have you with me. It's just devastating to consider that, you know? And so, because you've always been my whole family, you know, you've always been, it was like just me and you. And as long as we were together, we can flip a fucking coin and we'll move to Arizona. Like, it didn't matter. And I'm watching you, like, go through this, and I feel so fucking bad that you have to go through this. And then at the same time, I'm so grateful that it's not like Jared, where he's got, like, weeks to live, and he's gonna be sick and in pain. You know, like, we have a couple years, and we can have conversations and go on family vacations and drive a fucking boat that I don't know how to fucking drive. And I don't know if you remember, but when we went to the fucking camping trip, I had never driven a fucking pontoon before. And I swear to God, at one point in time, I am straddling the fucking pontoon boat and the dock because I have been told about this non-refundable deposit that I did not want to fucking pay if there was a, like, a dent on the side. And there, the waves were coming and I couldn't get this shit tied down. And at one point, I lost the fucking boat. I was chasing the boat along the dock and these fucking guys had to help me. And I was freaking out. He was like, why would you get off the boat without tying it down? And I was like, I was trying to tie it down and then the wind took it. And now I'm chasing my boat and it's going to crash into this $50,000 yacht. And, like, and I'm over here just thinking, like, oh my God, this is like everything we were going to get from the house if it crashes into these three boats. And I'm like, oh, it's all over. And, like, we can drive a fucking boat. We have years to do shit like that. And I can, in the same fucking camping trip, I turned around and I almost drowned my fucking family in the Santiam River. I was like, everything I read on Reddit, okay? Yeah. It's so safe. It is the Santiam River. Yes, you're going to see tons of shit about it. But I promise you, this particular stretch right here between this point and this point is so slow, you're going to have to get out of your fucking floaty raft and pull the fucking tubes. And guess what? They were correct. It was so slow. Numerous times I got off of my floaty tube and I carted you, Layla, and Braylon and all of our little floaty rafts to the side. We didn't even have a fucking paddle. Okay? This is how optimistic I am. I roll into the Santiam River without a fucking paddle or a life jacket. Okay? This is where being a full fucking adult, I'm...
I swear to God.
That's why I was like, oh, I'm the glue. Okay. I'm the glue. Are you serious right now?
No, you're not. Let me tell you. You have
got to be fucking kidding me. I am not equipped to do this. It's kind of like that oh shit moment where you realize, like.
Guide thing.
Yeah, like a life fucking vest. Yeah.
No, did we do that? No.
Absolutely not. No. And guess what happened?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what happened. There was a fucking tree that fell into the middle of the fucking river. And it was angled in such a way where the water was coming over it, where we didn't see that the tree was pointing upward in a sharp angle.
Yeah.
So it, all of our rafts were tied together. We were like a little pontoon ferry boat, okay? And we were like taking TikToks and fucking having a great old time.
And all of a sudden,
out of nowhere,
cute.
We're all flipped upside down.
You're pretty far up there.
Oh, she's okay. She's with Pumpkin.
You're with Pumpkin.
Yeah, she's okay. She's just copying Pumpkin. He looks like an owl.
Doesn't he?
He does look like an owl. He's got like golden eyes. It's the only cat I've seen with an orange cat with orange fucking eyes.
Orange eyes, yeah.
I mean, he's so timid. He also pees on everything. So yeah, I'm okay if he dies of some type of like pneumonia.
Pneumonia.
Just kidding. I'm sorry. I take it back. I'm just kidding. I would never. And so anyway, welcome to the tangent train that is our conversation. And so we're going to circle back to what I was saying, though. The fucking log was pointing out of the fucking river.
Oh, yeah.
But toward the flow of the river. So it was just enough to completely upturn every fucking one of us.
Yes.
And in that 2-second interval, everybody was underwater.
Yeah.
You were spinning. I look over, like literally I shoot up, right? Like I have a footing. I immediately jump up.
Yeah.
I locate the girls. Layla's fucking swimming to the side shore. She's already fucking on it. Layla's fucking fine.
Yeah.
And then I'm looking for you. I look over because I thought you were with Braylon. I'm looking left. I look right. I see you and you are spinning into a cyclone,
yes,
of sorts. It was, yes, like the current was going in a circle and you were trying to swim out of the cyclone.
Yes.
And at that very moment, a big wave of panic shot over me because I couldn't find fucking Braylon.
Yeah.
I looked 360, couldn't fucking find her. I looked down. She's under the fucking log, pinned with her raft upside down.
Oh, yeah.
She couldn't get out. She was under the water for 20 fucking seconds without a life vest, and we didn't have any fucking paddles. I was like, oh my God. Like,
oh,
I rip her out of the fucking water. I don't even know how I got the strength that I did. I literally threw her onto the fucking raft with one arm. I picked my daughter up and I threw her wet, soaking body onto a fucking raft. I jumped onto the raft and I swam over, grabbed Layla, and I'm screaming at you, stay there, stay there, because you were clinging to the side of a fucking cliff wall. And I was like, stay there, I'm coming. And I'm like running to the side and you're like, it was so bad. I was like, oh, this is a delightful trip. I'm so glad we're making memories. And like, meanwhile, Braylon absolutely refuses to go hiking because she now associates the fucking river with hiking, because after our little journey into the fucking underwater world, we had to scale a fucking cliffside and walk miles to get to the fucking house that was amazing.
Farmers. Yeah.
Well, that amazing woman.
Yeah.
And so we were like in the midst of trying to do that. And then these women pulled in with their little fucking, I don't know what they were called, like John Deere tractor go-kart thing. Daisy is so fucking dramatic.
She is. She's very dramatic.
I'm just going to pause. Our cat Daisy is the most dramatic bitch on the planet. Okay.
She is.
If she doesn't have enough litter in her litter box,
oh yeah,
she's going to sit there for about 5 fucking minutes and scoop the empty plastic. She just wants us to know.
Yeah.
Hold on. Yeah, that would be our drama queen in the corner. She doesn't have enough litter. She would like you to replace the litter. If anybody didn't hear, there's not enough litter. And so I'm like, Daisy. It's like her job to let everybody know that we're not measuring up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Daisy, God, I already feel like I suck right now. I don't need you to help me feel like shit, okay? While you take a shit. Jesus. Baba has joined us with his presence.
Oh,
and we're discussing.
He's not sure. He just wants to drink through it, I think.
I want to drink through it, but I made a promise to God. Yeah. Anyway.
We're at least smoking today, right? This is better.
I find it fucking hysterical that literally we're on the brink of societal collapse and all three of us are forced to be fucking sober right now.
Okay.
We have to be sober for the fall of society.
Well,
I mean, I guess it's
crazier and crazier.
I mean, I did actually decide that if like the apocalypse is really coming, I'll probably pop a bottle of Pinot.
Oh,
but only at like the last hour. And I'm going to make sure that I'm snuggling you guys before it actually hits.
Is it, you know, we have the kids to take care of.
So you're just preparing to fucking die.
A little bit. I mean, I'm hoping for it. I'm just kidding. Oh my God, I'm being a drama queen. I'm kidding. No. I don't even have the bottle of Pinot. If I was planning on dying, I would have it by now, but I don't.
We need the strat.
Jacob wants to get a gun.
Yeah, forget
we
that.
We need the strat.
No.
Because...
I'm
shooting outside the front door.
Do we look like?
I don't think so.
Sparing innocent people if they're going to get in our way.
Yeah. See, this is why I'm going to be in control of the strap. Jake will be out here popping off fucking toddlers. He'll be like, "They're in the way. They're in the way. Get out of the way."
I'm not. No, this is not California.
Survival of the fittest, motherfucker. And like,
I'm not in LA right now.
I'm just kidding. There's been a lot of yelling in this podcast.
That's another thing, man. I mean, I can't imagine. You know, I think Portland has a lot of its own problems.
We're
too,
literally sitting the same way.
Nothing like L.A. L.A. would be totally fucking nuts.
Oh, God. My friend Jillian's down in L.A. right now.
Oh, that would be tough.
I mean, I don't... If the societal collapse is coming, dude, you better have a fucking house toward, like... the country. That's the safest place to be.
I feel like Poland's gonna collapse.
Well, Haiti collapsed and they have fucking cannibalistic gangs running around eating people.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's what I feel like. So, like
that is really what happened in Haiti. They just had to fucking evacuate every single U.S. diplomat and every, like, U.S. personnel. I know, we have plans that I can't have plans for because I'm a felon, so... You know, unless society actually does collapse, we can't really get a gun yet.
We don't even have bullets.
I know, we don't have anything.
We need, like, all of it.
We lost ours in the river a long time ago.
I don't have a felony. I live somewhere else. I'll go get a fucking gun.
This is how I know Jacob and I are totally gonna make it. Because there was, like, this video, okay? I was watching this video on fucking YouTube. And they have, like, these things called shorts. So it's very much like TikTok or Instagram reels, okay? Facebook stories. There was a mother in a minivan with her older son and her young daughter in the back seat, okay? They're waiting in line to go at a red light. And this dude in a fucking Mustang slams into the back of them doing a high-speed chase with the fucking police. The way that that mother and son jumped out of that fucking van and literally pulled that motherfucker out of the car and started beating the shit out of him because they were so mad because the little girl was in the back. I was like, immediately, that's me and Jake. Like, I know for a fact that if that shit actually happened, we'd be so consumed with rage that we would start beating this dude. And then suddenly Rayla would have to pull us off of him because she'd be like, saner minds prevail. Like, the little mama would come in and be like, you can't hurt another human.
Just a few weeks ago, I was the dude from First Sunday.
For where?
The dude from First Sunday. You know, the guy that's like dancing when the church thing's going. And
Well, that baby is called bipolar. And it's okay. Because guess what? I told Jacob, I said, listen, because I think that there's a disservice done to people who struggle with, like, the ups and downs of being bipolar, okay?
Well, you know,
and when you go through, like, something like a manic episode, there are granules of truth involved.
Yeah.
There are. It doesn't mean it's, like, completely, like, I don't know what I'm doing with this headband I'm taking off, sorry. It doesn't mean that you can walk away from that episode and not understand that there was some valid truth there. You needed to have a connection with God and you needed spirituality to pull you away from addiction. Because in order to be truly of service to the world around you, you have to see value in it and you have to understand the Creator is here and He's real or she's real, whatever source, what have you. That granule of truth can come with you. Now, when you were dancing and talking in tongues, probably not. I'm so eternally grateful that we've moved past that point. But I'll tell you what, you were the cutest fucking churchgoer I've ever seen in my life. He was leading the fucking choir. He was front and center on the front part of the stage with a microphone in his hand, rapping.
Oh God, I love it.
I love him. They did. It was great. I mean, Jacob, I told him, I said, you need to make a song called Go Hard.
Listen, they love me until they hate me.
Yeah, but they're still thinking about you. And that's what sells records. So, like Nicki Minaj, I'd like to thank all my haters. But yeah, I know that Jake and I are going to totally survive the apocalypse. And you're not going to have to worry about shit. I told Jake, I said, okay, we might have to walk to Jen's. Because we were sitting there having a full-blown conversation about, like, what the details of this evacuation would look like. And I was like, okay, we're going to have to take the topography map to understand the elevation and the vegetation around us. Okay, we're going to have to take the actual map and map something off the beaten path so when the National Guard comes in. And he's like, but, like, how are we going to get to Jen's if we don't have a car, if there's, like, an EMP? And I was like, oh, I already have that figured out. We got two wagons in the backyard. And he's like, what about the fucking cats? He's like, we're just going to open the doors and let the cats go. I said, Jacob, you think that Nana is going to let you just leave? She would die first. She would never let you let those. I said, because what's going to happen to the cats?
Let you in the house,
they're going to get fucking eaten out there. They're going to look like a fucking family pack of Velveeta cheese and macaroni noodles. That's what they'll look like to the general populace. They're just going to get hunted. And so he was like, well, what? You're going to carry all fucking six cats? I said, no. I'm going to stack them into pet carriers on top of a wagon, and the other wagon is going to be carrying Nana. And he was like,
I don't think all of them would get eaten.
We could fit three per container and stack two.
I say if you let open the door, I don't think all of them would get eaten.
I know, but the goal is to keep the family together.
Yes.
And you don't abandon your family during the apocalypse, even if it's inconvenient. Okay. Like, that'd be like kicking Anna to the curb and be like, you're too slow.
Let me say something. If you guys,
you're not contributing to the good.
The way that you're preparing yourself to already die, the way you said you would pop a bottle and then snuggle, means you're preparing to die.
So no, I said if I'm that, I said the last out. Hour, okay?
I'm gonna have to let you
know. Jacob's already preparing to put me out of my misery. He's like, I'll let you finish the bottle, okay? You'll get 5 minutes with me, and then I'll have you look away. And I'll be like, what the hell? Oh, my
God.
That
sounds good. Yeah, that sounds really good, honey. Yeah, go for that.
Oh, but what I was saying is, so before I started, like, all this shit, we were talking. I was, like, falling apart crying. Because Nana forgot Braylon's name for the first time tonight, and it made me fall apart so bad, right? It really fucking made me fall apart so bad that I started to cry. And yes, I love my friend Jared, okay? I don't want him to die. But I was crying also because that was such a big marker for me of change where I recognized, like, we cannot put the fucking brakes on this thing. This is just coming, you know, and it's so scary and overwhelming. And I started to cry and I fucking texted Brent and I was like, dude, like, this happened and this is so fucking hard. And he was like, I'm so sorry, you know, because what do you say to that? You can't. And I don't know why I shared it with him. I think because we spent so long being a tinier family unit with the Watts, like, he would come over and spend time with us too. So for me, it feels like he was part of the family unit. And so I just share that with him because I felt like it was a huge marker. And then I recognize, like, I'm so eternally grateful that we do have years. Like, we should have at least a couple of fucking years to make memories of me driving a fucking pontoon boat and straddling that thing and chasing it down the docks. Screaming, oh my God, the boat, and like fucking almost drowning you guys in the Santiam River. Like, these lovely memories, yeah, right?
Lovely memories.
These Hallmark moments where Jacob's planning on putting me out of my misery. Five minutes before the apocalypse. But anyway, I'm just so glad we could all be together, you know? Like, it's just so hard.
Think of it that way.
I'll be at Jacob's.
Throw them in the bottle.
Yo, we're all going to Jen's.
Oh, yeah.
We are all going to Jen's. Because Lexi and Belle are cool as fuck, and you can hang out with them because they're in your age group. But
Grandma's kind of like...
They got tons of weed there, so you'll be happy. About
this. We have a lot of cannibalistic people running around Portland. Grandma is going and walking in Portland.
No, we're going to take the beaten path. That's what the topography maps are for.
And then you have a tweaker coming out after smoking.
And then we just shank him in the jugular. Free radicals. What is this? What is happening?
And then you have...
There, sorry, I'm on TV.
He has a shake too. What if you have a whole group?
I'm faster. I'm always going to be faster. I know I'm going to be faster. Grandma doesn't have to be fast because we're both fast. So, that's what I said. We'll be fine. You guys, we just already planned for this. So the same way the mother and the son jumped out of that fucking minivan in 2.5 seconds to beat the shit out of that guy is the same way Jake and I will go after a tweaker when he tries to sink his teeth into you. So no. Don't worry. It's going to be fine.
No. We're just gonna run away.
Jacob's like, sacrifice the weak. I'm like, no.
Exactly. That's his whole.
That's why the whole goal of teaching values needs to come into play at a young age. And that's why I'm glad, because he still has the values, even though he doesn't want to.
Yeah, he's really worried about it.
He is. No, he makes jokes. He's got a dark humor, just like Beamer does.
I know.
And cracks me up. You know what Beamer said to me?
I'm afraid.
This is literally the conversation that happened when I called her back, right? I go, hey, what's up? She goes, hey, and she's all casual. Like, I can imagine her, like, washing dishes or, like, organizing her nail polish selection. And she's looking at stuff, doing shit, and she's like, oh, yeah, I had to tell Jake that I was trying to come over, but I'm not. That was a lie. I just wanted to talk to you. And I've noticed that he really has an issue with you and I talking on the phone. I think it's because he's a little jealous because I'm clearly better. And I was like, really? She came up with that whole thing on her fucking own.
I was like, this is
where that's going. Okay, cool. I was like, Braylon.
Smack that chicken in the butt a little bit.
She's just turning into a bitch.
No, we don't talk like it. No, she's kidding. She was kidding. It's the dark humor. It's dark humor. She finds it hysterical.
That's just called being a bitch.
No, she's kidding. She's not serious.
Until she gets smacked in the face.
Jacob, okay. Well, now I regret telling you.
No, I'm not saying
anything. He's just kidding. This is Jacob's dark humor.
When she's in school and she goes popping off like that, telling a motherfucker, another motherfucking girl who's from the hood, from fucking Portland, who moved up to Malala just because the family got a job up there.
Oh, Braylon doesn't do that.
No, and she's like, hey, it's probably because I'm better than you. And the Portland girl's used to being put down, and she's like, okay, bitch, smack the fuck out of her.
You really want to see that, because you were very hurt by that statement. Just so you know, your sister does not think she's better than you.
No, I didn't even think that. She was totally kidding. I just think she just needs to get smacked a little bit.
Well, that's one opinion. I would like to go for the second, which is she's just trying to develop her own sense of humor. And that usually starts with dark humor. Like when we were in middle school, there was a period of time where you just like insult your friends. I don't know why we all fucking do that. Like that's like where it's cool to like, oh, your bangs look stupid.
But
like
she doesn't understand is she's not going to have any friends if she does that.
She doesn't really do that though.
No, but listen. If she does this to me and I'm like an older brother, right? That's like a person that's like quote unquote cool type shit. And she tries to act like that because she's jealous of actually how I am in a way. And she's like, oh,
she was lying. She was literally kidding.
She's lying to me saying that she was trying to come over. So I thought she was trying to come over.
You're
so
just mad because you went upstairs for no reason.
Yes.
Yeah. That's why I see where it is. I get it. But we have all done things like in the past when you would have her suggest McDonald's, you know.
That's
maybe she didn't
smart.
Want McDonald's. Well, maybe she was just being smart.
No. She was just making me get up for no reason.
You're so funny. I love how immediately you go to violence. You're like, and somebody's going to smack her in the face. It won't be me. But it'll probably be like this. And then you have like a very realistic, daydreamed, prepped and ready story about how Braylon gets smacked in the face. And I'm like, wait a minute. You're like, and she just moved in from Portland and she's from the hood. And I'm like, wait, have you been thinking about this like before this conversation?
Only a Big Brother, man. Only a Big Brother. You crack me up. Oh, God. So we were talking about that moment where that happened, where you'd misplaced Braylon's name. And I just realized, like, the totality of it is a lot. And our family has actually, despite the hardships, okay, we have actually all really come through this okay.
Oh, yeah.
We've gone through addiction, mental health crisis, a diagnosis with Alzheimer's, divorce, homelessness, like
foster care,
abuse, fucking psychotic boyfriend, like...
Yeah. We
we've come through a lot of shit in a very small period of time. And you know what? Our strength as a family.
I break the law.
Yeah, we'll do that for our family as well.
Your face and tell you you're doing the wrong thing.
And I'll be like, knock it off. Lock it in. Tighten up. I'm just kidding.
No, Grandma, we gotta rob the bank.
No. Oh my God, it's so funny.
No banks, you're gonna be the one.
No, I don't know why you guys are trying to rob banks. I'm going to the pharmacy to get all the antibiotics.
No. Fuck the antibiotics.
No, I'm not trying to get oxys. I'm trying to get medicine.
Then you're gonna get caught up by the tweakers and they're gonna stab you for the medicine.
Oh, yeah.
It's not even the apocalypse yet. Look at you.
Well, I wouldn't be going to the fucking human pharmacy. I'd be going to the fucking vet.
What do you even... What?
Vets have antibiotics that humans can take. You,
ketamine.
Wait, what? Ketamine. Oh, ketamine? Yeah, well, maybe... I'll ketamine leave the fucking ketamine. I don't care about the ketamine.
But they're going to see you still there. They're going to shoot... They're gonna be like, she's trying to
take... Why are
drugs.
You... Do you daydream about me dying too? Stop it. You need to quit having such violent daydreams. I have to pee, but this has been a very lovely conversation. It's 11... We're on the eve of a weekend eclipse on Monday, or actually it'll be Sunday at 10 o'clock.
There's a what?
An eclipse, a lunar eclipse. Oh. And then the solar eclipse will be happening on the 5th, and that is the day that the National Guard will be distributed to the nation. They are closing every fucking public school, and they're sending the National Guard out, and they're telling everybody to have 2 weeks worth of supplies.
And that is the day we are going to get a shotgun.
And so go to Jen's.
So I can keep the shotgun with me. I want a gun.
You know that those motherfuckers in the Yellow House... Listen, you know those motherfuckers in the Yellow House have a full fucking artillery back there. The Yellow House people.
Oh, yeah.
With the fucking Escalade parked on the front lawn casually. Yeah. Welcome to the hood. I was like... fucking Escalade in a Toyota Tundra. I'm like...
You would have to like...
They gave zero fucks for that yard. Bro, they're like, whatever.
We don't have the people for that.
Yeah, well, I almost stole their mini fridge the other day and nobody saw me.
We still don't.
It's just sitting on the front lawn. I was like, you know what? This is Whiskey Tango at its finest.
We still don't have.
Mini fridge.
We still don't have the equipment to do that. Because if we're going to go in and try to take the guns, you need to kill literally everybody in the house.
Well, we're not going to take all the guns. We're just going to take one.
They're not going to let you take one. They're not going to let you have
one. We could just go ask them for one.
They're not going to be like, what the fuck?
We can reference that we have a sweet little old lady who bitches at them for playing their music too loud. Did you know that you marched down the street and you were banging on the fucking neighbor's door at 4 p.m. telling him to turn his guitar down? He was having band practice in his garage and you were trying to take a nap. It's the same way that you cut off the fucking little old lady across the way because she was just trying to reverse into her parking spot. You whip in like you're from SoCal, which you are, and you steal her parking spot. You get out, you clutch your purse, and you flip her off and walk inside our house. I was like, she's never been more proud to be an asshole. And I was like,
Mom, I'm so weird.
I can reference the sweet little old lady next door who sneaks her garbage into their garbage can.
We need, like, a shotgun.
Okay.
Or, like, an assault rifle.
Okay, well, baby steps, okay?
Like a bigger gun.
We haven't graduated to armed theft yet, okay? We're not going there.
Well, you know, we have cats to deal with.
Yeah, we have to worry about the cats,
we
Jacob.
Have to worry about the cats.
Priorities. All right, look at Daisy. You're going to leave Daisy to get snacked on?
I'm talking about
like
we need,
a chicken wing?
We need all fucking tax money and we need to go buy a gun.
Anyway, tax money is going to float us until we get the house sold. But moving on.
Until fucking what you talking about? Oh, we're going to fucking... You are not thinking logically. Listen. April 5th. Fucking Coast Guard. That's the end of the fucking world, okay? We die that day. We need to die.
Yeah, that sounds good. I love that in the middle of Nana's talking. Oh, but we got to circle back to the, it's not going to be all doom and gloom. I have something positive to buffer it with. So even though you forgot Braylon's name, yes, and that made me fall apart like a fucking baby, okay, we have successfully completed an almost hour and a half long podcast. A very intelligent, well thought out, humorous conversation that you were able to carry just fine. So there are things that are harder for some reason, and that's okay.
Yeah.
We're going to take the fucking wins where they are, and that's what we'll do. We'll just take the wins. The win here is that we have years to be together and make memories. I told Nana that we need to have her write letters to you and Braylon, or even do little videos for when you get married or when you have kids or when you, you know, when you're having a hard day, like shit like that, so that you can read it.
And you can say, here's it.
What would Nana think?
She told him that he was never going to get married again. And sure enough,
you're not planning on writing Jacob a fucking letter for his second marriage. Yeah, okay. That's where I put the line in the sand, sister. That is not okay. I only want you to get married once.
I'm not even going to. Because at this point, the world's going to end on April 5th.
Jacob, stop. Oh, that is not an excuse to write off everything.
No, fuck this shit. We need guns.
Oh my god. Well, Bubba's on a gun tangent.
I'm going to learn how to make a pipe bomb.
Watch, I'm going to wake up in the morning and he's going to have a full-on scale attack plan for the Yellow House. And be like, this is how we're going to get... I'm pretty sure they keep it in the back end of the house. Okay, we're going to scale this fence. We're going to go around this part of the yard and we're going to go in with our shovels. And I'm going to be like, what?
No,
but we could do this all night.
What we would need is we need like you know, like those like fireworks that you get on 4th of July.
The poppets.
That smoke.
Yeah, like little tiny fire. Oh, smoke bombs.
Yeah, smoke bombs. So we get like 10 of those.
You're going full tactical. Jacob's like, here's what else we're going to do. We're going to paint camo makeup all over our fucking face. And I know you have what we need in your fucking makeup bag. And then suddenly it's like this full on thing. And I'm like, wait. So that's why I said you should make a song called Go Hard. Because Jacob goes hard in everything that he decides to do. Anything he sets his fucking mind to, he's like, I'm going to get fucking famous. I'm going to fucking get a girlfriend. I'm going to fucking get a car. I'm going to like anything that you've set your mind to, you've done. You've gotten on stage and performed shows. You've written songs. And now you're about ready to go on a fucking TV show.
I do my own show.
I really want to see you do like a song called Go Hard, though. I think you... Whatever the lyrics are, I'm sure will be fucking awesome. But I feel like we could probably wrap this podcast up because it's been fairly entertaining.
Yeah, it certainly has.
Thank you for participating in the podcast this evening.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Pleasure's all mine.
Yeah, I wasn't all racking away, you know, just being a whacking dog.
No, you were doing great. It was a lovely conversation.
Yes.
One I shall cherish.
I know.
All right,
okay,
I love you.
Listen, wait, before what? You end the podcast, I wanted to end it with this.
Is this a shameless plug?
I wanted to end it.
Prepare for a shameless plug.
Listen, so...
Find him on Instagram.
No. So you wanted...
Don't forget to tune in to his show.
You wanted...
the Jam Box.
You wanted to...
Tomorrow night, to, 8 p.m. Eastern.
That Braylon needed to get smacked, but I also want to say that I want to see Braylon with hands.
I love that you sprinkled in a little salt for the end flavor. Yeah,
so she could still smack back. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to teach her how to hit back.
So she doesn't get her ass beat, but she still gets hit.
I feel like Braylon's gonna be like Alice from the Twilight, where she just like fast limber and does like flips and shit.
No.
Braylon won't have to fight because she's fast and she'll fucking flip around and, like, twirl she'll away. Like,
she'll try to do a flip and then get smacked.
She'll be like happy feet and just
no, she tap uses, away. She used to throw hands.
We can't all be from South Central, Jake.
No, this is, like, shameless.
Yeah. Well, I love you guys. I hope you sleep well. I'm sure we'll talk to you later.
Coming from Detroit.
Bye.